thank you all for coming this evening.
At least we know who the spiritual group is.
Well, we just wanted to also thank all of you for allowing us to be a part of your week here. We are beyond grateful for the opportunity to share our hearts with you, and we will be continuing to pray for you, and to hopefully you'll be able to make some steps in meeting each other's relational needs, and most importantly, you'll become more like Christ. So.
We're going to go ahead and get started, so hopefully people will show up and not miss tonight. So we're just kind of as a recap, talking about obviously as we get to know what our mate's needs are, is when we actually take the initiative to meet that need, and that removes aloneness. The emotional cup, I'm hearing through the grapevine, there's been some discussion outside of this, which is awesome, because that's what we were hoping for. There'll be some discussion about emotional cup. And so to kind of drive that home, I wanted to kind of revisit that for a second. So someone's going to hold her emotional cup. Remember what that is, right? And then, so, Yvonne's, what one is your, what is one of the primary needs that you have?
Security.
And what does that look like for security, for me to meet that need for security?
That there's harmony in relationships, and I know that you're there for me, and that kind of thing.
Okay. So I know you'll be shocked when I get ready to go down this road, but occasionally I have hurt my wife. I know I seem pretty on top of it, but there's times when I have not done that. And so years ago when our kids were home and I'm in law enforcement, DEA, I'm pretty much one of these guys, you cross me, then you're done. And so I could be pretty harsh on my sons. So if I would raise my voice or get mad, or if I grab my son too harsh, can you imagine how that strikes you on? Knowing her need and security is harmony in relationships. So when I do that, I raise my voice, I get mad at the boys, and most of this has been, you know, at them. So then she would be upset about that. So when I do that, I am putting hurt in her emotional cup. So I just want to do that graphically for a second, and going like, okay, so now we know that when that happens. So then what happens with me is she gets upset at me, then I go off and go do, what do I go do? You're listening! I'm so grateful! Sorry, Lee, you're happy you're on project. So then I would go clean the garage, and then as I would work through what all happened, and I think through what I did, then what convicts me? The Holy Spirit. So then I'd have to come back and then ask her for, first I'd have to identify what it was that I know that I did, and I realize that that has hurt you, and I'm sorry about that. Realize this is something that I really don't want to do, that I keep doing. Is there something in Scripture about that? I know what I shouldn't do, and I keep doing it. Like Paul had something to do. Right. And I ask for your forgiveness. Will you forgive me?
Yes.
So when she agrees to forgive me, then guess what happens to the negative emotion in her cup?
Not always.
Not all of us just yet.
Well, you know.
I'm going to get a little bit.
Yeah, there may be something a little bit in the bottom. But the point is, and this is where we see how we got stuck years ago. This is where we meet with a lot of couples over the years, where they get stuck. I shared the story about how a friend of mine's brother, strong believers, 21 years, divorced. Because they could never heal a hurt, basically. They could never work through conflict. And so they just couldn't live life with two full emotional cups. Can you imagine, you know, what that picture might look like? So I wanted to just to demonstrate a simple pouring in and out to say the cool thing is if we can get into the motion as we realize we hurt one another, and if we can turn around and come back to that person, identify the hurt, and then seek forgiveness, then the hurt that I put in there is turn around and corn right back out. And so when we go for years, and like I say, this one couple, 21 years without forgiveness, is it a matter why in the church the divorce rate is like outside the church? How screwed up is that? And I think a lot of it is this simple thought about when I hurt my spouse, how to identify that, talk to them about that, confess that, and then seek forgiveness. But the other one's got to be willing to forgive. Because I can ask for forgiveness all day long, but if she's not willing to accept that and forgive me, then it's still there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, we good on that? I just want to do that real quick. This is a more recent brainstorm. We're going like, we ought to just kind of pour some stuff that comes. So, anyway, are we good? Well,
you said that, sometimes you might take a couple of days to do it.
Right.
That's why you have marriage staff meetings, so that you're already set up, so that that's kind of a, maybe by the time that you would have your next staff meeting, you would be in a better place.
Okay.
So, good question.
You're not tracking her, right? I mean, you're not sitting there tracking, hey, she didn't forgive me yet. You're not going to bring it up in your staff meeting, right?
Well, actually, that is the time to do it.
Would you bring that up?
I would say if I could tell there's still some distance there, and I can tell her body, you know, movement reaction, there's still something going on, then absolutely, it's the time to bring it up.
Bond is like never ready to forgive me immediately. So I just got to like give it a little bit of time.
Okay, Brad, hang on a second. Can anybody guess where he messed up? Brad, use the word never.
Okay. Sometimes. Well, immediately sometimes it's...
We'll talk about that in a little more.
We're going to reserve some alone time for you guys.
She makes me identify because it's like, you don't even know what you did. It's like,
we are going to go there in just a minute.
Hold that thought.
Thank you for getting the stage ready for us. Okay.
So next we're going to talk about a topic we call emotional responding. And that is... Because in law enforcement, especially when I was on patrol for about 3.5 years, who calls the police? Is it to say, Officer Cummins, we're just wanting to let you know, we live in your beat, and we're so appreciative of what you do, so we just want to have you swing by, and we just want to tell you thank you. You think that's why they call the police?
No.
Crisis. So I'm there to deal with crisis, right? And the only way you deal with crisis, men, you'll like this, and that's called with facts and logic. That's how you deal with crisis.
In your mind.
In my humble... And just ask me if that works with a spouse.
No.
No, not so much.
Yeah.
So the whole thing we talk about emotional responding is when something happens and we see that there's hurt there, then how do we respond? So one of my favorite Bible stories is... remember when a lady by the name of Mary... had her brother that got sick, a guy by the name of Lazarus. In fact, she sent help to go get Jesus, to go get him, because she knew that there was something really wrong with Lazarus. And do we remember that when that happened and the person finds Jesus and tells him what's going on, what was Jesus' reaction? Do you remember?
Delay.
Delay, yes.
Yeah. We'll get to that. There was no urgency. It could have something to do with he knew what he was getting ready to do. You know, we might say that. But anyway, by the time he gets over there, what had happened to Lazarus?
Dead.
He's dead. For several days, right? So as Jesus gets close and somebody comes in and tells Mary that Jesus has arrived and she comes out, what was her emotional state like?
Very upset.
Weeping, very upset. And you can probably imagine part of her pain and disappointment is that she believed that Jesus was God and why, and he could have healed him, so he didn't die. But when Jesus met Mary and she is weeping and all upset, do you remember what Jesus did immediately?
He wept.
Jesus wept. Yes.
So I love this story. This is an example of emotional responding. Jesus, if it was Brad or I, I'm going to pick on you, Brad, since we spent the afternoon together. If it was you or I, we'd say, "You don't think I can heal Lazarus? Do you know who I am? What are you upset about? Can you kind of find yourself going down that road?" But he didn't. Because listen to this, he met emotion with emotion. And it's a great example of what emotional responding looks like. Now, that doesn't mean every time there's a hurt share in a conversation, you've got to weep about it. But there is a power to entering into what that person's feeling. Does that make sense?
So this diagram talks about emotional responding, and it talks about the ways that we can choose to emotionally respond. Are you all able to see this back there? Okay. So if you can see there under the green box, it says that emotional responding always includes understanding, empathy, gentleness, reassurance. And it also says at times it might include confession. So look at some of those below the line. There are some examples of some possible responses. Can anybody read that? Nobody can see it?
Yes.
Okay. What does it say?
I can really see that you are hurting for what? I don't like seeing you hurting. It saddens me to see that you're so fearful. I deeply care about you, love you. I'm committed to going through this with you.
So the first time or two that we started down this road of learning to do this, this was not part of my vocabulary. This wasn't even part of what I really thought much about. And so it seemed a little odd at first. It seemed kind of, I guess, almost forced. And at times I felt like I needed to write this on an index card. So if somebody told me that they were, in a painful situation, that sounds really sad, but I had to keep telling myself. So just say, I'm really sorry that this is where you find yourself and that you're going through this. I want to be a friend and stand with you in that. Those kinds of things. I know that hopefully most of us are more mature than I was when we started this, but it took me a while to get to a point where that didn't feel like sort of stilted, if that makes any sense.
100%.
So anyway, through time we've worked on this and learning to do this. And you might even be able to do this even with your kids or any other relationship. This is not related. Only set aside for marriage. So if you have a friend that's going through something, these are the kinds of words that might help them feel like you're entering into their world and their pain.
So we were in the middle of a staff meeting. It was Sunday evening. Our kids were in bed. And Yvonne was struggling, and she vulnerably shared about
our son, who was, I felt like I was the bad mother of the year. He's only about 4 years old. The preschool had called and said, we're having a few difficulties, with some behavior issues. And then the Awana teacher calls and says, we're having a few little discipline types of things. And then the Sunday school, it's like, great, I'm doing a fantastic job of being a mother.
And so I was challenged not to repeat what I would normally do, which would be more in the facts and logic, that we just need to sit him down and he needs to be disciplined and he needs to be told, this is what you're going to do, this is what's going to happen. Identify with anybody out there that's like what you do when you've had discipline problems with your children. But this time God gave me a gift, and it was really the first time that we'd experienced that. So we're sitting on the couch. I simply put my arm around her, and then we kind of sit down and just laid down on the couch, and I did nothing but hold her. And I said nothing. inside Yvonne's feeling.
For the first time, he wasn't trying to fix it. He was just allowing me to be in that moment of pain and hurt, and knowing that he was feeling my pain even though he wasn't speaking words.
And I'm laying there thinking, what the heck is this supposed to do? Right? I mean, how does this fix anything? And luckily, I kept my mouth shut. So I was able to keep my mouth shut, which was a big deal for us. And literally, that was kind of the first time that we experienced that she felt, you know, that I wasn't trying to fix it, and I just kind of comfort her. And now there's, once you're kind of over that, there's the time to figure out, okay, what's the plan? What do we need to do? So it's not like you never address it, but it was really under the power of God gave me that ability to just stay quiet and just kind of hold her.
Y'all good? Okay. So these are some other things about ways maybe not to help comfort someone. So I don't know if any of us have used this before, the pep talk, you'll be fine, you're a strong person, those kinds of things. Or maybe the self-focus with, when it all becomes about me. Well, really, the same thing happened to me. Can't you remember that? Or the anger, I can't believe they did it. It makes me so mad. Or even better, the spiritualizing, you know that God works all things for good. And I just want to preface that scripture can be misused, but there are times that it's appropriate, but sometimes it can get misused in certain situations. And as Ted indicated earlier, another way that's probably not the best to do is the facts and logics type of response of, well, I did it just because, I'm just telling you why I did it, and that's just how they are. And they said that because you're kind of explaining away whatever the situation is.
So one thing I was just going to bring up too is we're in the middle of identifying a hurt and then just trying to comfort and that kind of things. That the way I respond can actually add more hurt to her based upon how I approach it. Does that kind of make sense? So this whole thing, especially when you're in a pattern of reacting the same way, then that becomes a deeper wounding, and eventually, guess what happens? She doesn't even want to identify it anymore, because what's the use? And that happens a lot in relationships, is that, you know, every time I bring it up, he just either neglects, or she just says, just drop it. And so it never gets dealt with.
So,
okay.
So, get there. Okay. Or maybe back to the complaining there, the third one down. You shift the focus again to me. Well, I'm hurt too. I don't know. Hopefully, none of these words have ever come out of your mouth, but these have happened in our house, so we're guessing that some of these, you might be able to pick one of these events. Or, like Ted mentioned, the whole neglect thing. I love this one. What's for dinner? You just have told your what something to your spouse, and then that is the response. So try to remember those are things that are not good ways to choose to respond to a spouse that is you have hurt.
So when we went through this material for the first time, and we went through the exercise, which was not fun, where you actually could spend some time, and this is over a period of almost 2 weeks, and to try to get quiet, try to think through what are some things that might be in my cup, identifying ways that I'd hurt her, and then a separate list is ways that she had hurt me. And when we were told that we needed to work on that, that would be something we would have to do the next time we met, Yvonne felt
like I was going to throw up. Because?
Well, one of the things that was higher on her list that I had would totally cut me off guard when we got together and I could see the things on her list. One of the first things that was there was a hurt that she had had that I had caused, because when I asked her to marry me, I had not gone to her parents first and asked for permission and her hand in marriage. Now, at this time, we had been married 13. We'd been married 13 years. And she had never raised that. She had never brought that up. She never threw that at me in an argument. Not that we would do anything like that towards one another. But so I was totally shocked about that. And then the facsimile in my brain goes, what the heck do I do with that? 13 years after the fact. So we still work through that. I apologize to her. I ask for forgiveness of that. And we heal that hurt. About 4 months later, we went back to Kansas over the holidays and was with her folks. And we got the boys to bed and we'd sit down of an evening. And I'd been praying about this to give me strength to do this. Because what I started thinking through is if I'd hurt her, then who else may have hurt her folks? So is it possible that they were expecting me to do that as well, which would be pretty normal, and then I didn't do that? Yvonne grew up on a farm, great people, strong believers, been in the Methodist church, pretty non-emotional as relates to things. And so we're of an evening, and I started this conversation. By the way, Yvonne didn't know I was going to do this. And so we're talking, and I told him that we were going through some marriage material, and we were identifying some hurts. And so I said, one of the first things up on her list was this. And so I looked at them, and I told them that I just had to apologize to them, and I asked for their forgiveness. And I had some emotion in my eyes. And I looked at my mother-in-law, and at that time, and again, we're 13 years into marriage, and we dated for 8 years before we got married. So we're talking about a 21-year relationship. And so I looked at her, and I'm seeing some tears coming out of her eyes. And that was the first time I'd ever seen emotion out of my mother-in-law. And so we want to share that story to you, is that if God lays that on your heart and you want to take a little bit step deeper in any relationship to identify something that you've done, take responsibility for it, you know, confess that, and then seek the forgiveness is a huge deal. So just wanted to share that as an encouragement to you. And how did that make you feel?
It met my need for security in ways that I didn't know. It brought harmony and relationship. So it was pouring good stuff in my cup, not negative.
Yeah. And after that, in our relationship, I could definitely already feel the difference in my relationship with both of them. Even though they didn't even act or read, I don't know if they even said, I think they were more like, no, we didn't. So I don't know if they're just being polite or what, but anyway.
So back to kind of what this slide talks about is how do I help heal the hurts that I've caused my spouse? So Ted was mentioning that. One of the things that in a healthy marriage is that whole skill of apologizing and how I have hurt my spouse. And you get to choose, and the reality is we're all going to hurt each other at some point in time. And even the newlyweds back there, hopefully you've gone on 6 weeks and you're still not having hurt each other, but there will come a time. And apologizing is a choice that we have. And sometimes it's hard to have those kind of conversations. So we're going to talk about what an effective confession looks like. The first thing on that list says be specific. So this is not one of those, if I've hurt you in the last month, forgive me for that. That is not what we're looking for. Okay? So be specific. Number two there is to admit you're wrong without what? Explaining or rationalizing.
Guys, we're really good at this.
I think we all are good at this because it's like, well, I wouldn't have done that if you wouldn't have done this. That's just a normal reaction to that, right? So rationalizing or showing, and remember once again, an effective confession, you want to show understanding of your spouse's feelings. And then specifically ask for forgiveness. So does that, yes, I see a question.
It's not a question.
Oh,
comment.
Okay.
On the admit wrong without claiming, rationalizing, years and years ago, Ferguson's first came 36 years ago, they told us, don't say I'm sorry, say I'm wrong. And that's really stuck with us. And saying you're sorry isn't an admission of guilt. Saying you were wrong, will you forgive me, is an admission of guilt or wrongdoing.
Just so everyone can hear what Tom said, he said that when the Fergusons came here 36 years ago, they said that saying, I am sorry, is not an admission of guilt, that you should say, I was wrong. So, right.
We would totally agree with that.
Yes, yes.
Do y'all have an example?
We are just getting ready to do that. Thank you for saying that, Maude. The next slide is actually going to help us with all of that. So we're going to give you an opportunity to do this. And you can't leave now, Jason.
No, see, lock the back door.
So, and just for us to help
us.
Just to help us think about ways that we may have hurt our spouse, that sometimes it's hard to kind of even think through all of that. But maybe let's talk about maybe we have prioritized other people or other things and made them more important than our spouse. Might we have focused more on what's wrong with my partner than what's right? Maybe we've left our spouse feeling alone or unimportant. Or maybe we've been neglectful of their relational needs and their hurt that they have encountered. So we're going to give you the opportunity to have a conversation about this. And this is the part that's always challenging because we need to model this for you. So in this couple's time, and look what the first thing there it says, Tom, was, I was wrong when. I know that you must have felt because. So these are some sentence starters for those of us like myself that need help in guiding me through something like this. So I'm going to suggest that during your couple time for sharing that, that when you're ready to share, that you hold hands. And you look at each other in the eye. Can you do that much? And Ted, I just want to tell you that I was wrong for the times when I used our sexual relationship as a way to control and manipulate. And that's something that God intended for great pleasure, and I misused it. And I know that that harmed you a lot, and I was wrong in choosing to go down that path. And I know that must have really felt disrespectful as a man, and I know that your need for affection was not met at all because I wanted to be in control. And I was wrong, and I want to ask you to forgive me for the choice that I made to hurt you. Will you forgive? Absolutely. That's real. And I just want you to know that's hard. It's not easy to admit that you were wrong. And it's not easy to think that I made a choice to hurt Ted in a way that was simply wrong. And so I would like for you to have a conversation, and I realize that yours is not going to be what mine is necessarily. Don't think that at all. But is there something that is in your relationship now that you know that maybe needs to be talked about in that regard? Can be being angry. It can be that list that I just read about prioritizing other people or other things over your spouse. So Chip is going to play some music for us for a few minutes. So I would like for you, this is a safe place. This is a good place to try to practice. And all of those...
I was just going to throw out the kind of a clarification that they're not saying when you did this. They're saying something that you know that you did wrong. Is that clear? Because sometimes it's an opportunity to say, well, here's my chance. You did this, this, and this. This is simply identifying something that you did that may have hurt the other person. Is that clear?
So, Chip, you got some...
Now, aren't you glad you came?
So, and if you need to spread apart and feel like you need some privacy, you're welcome to do that as well. And we're praying for you right now. Sorry, guys. Oh, we'd love to give you about an hour to do that. But guess what?
Hold on. She's just about to get
a good So, I mean, for most of us, how many hour drive do you have home? Plenty of time. Talk about it. Unless you got grandkids in the car or kids in the car. So can someone, would someone mind sharing how that went?
You don't have to say what it was, but just the whole exercise. Is that a part of your normal? Yes, Lil.
I was
Well, thank you for sharing that. Yes.
Anybody else?
Well, I hope that this is a part of your natural, normal rhythms in your relationship. It wasn't for us. And so we have to practice this a lot. So please know that this is, and you can use this for your kids even too, you know, telling when your kids have hit their brother or whatever that sort of thing has gone on, and helping them walk through this. Because we would have had these tools prior to being married, we probably could have tried to implement them.
Yeah, come on.
Can I ask a question about this? Just as we kind of went through it kind of briefly, but I was wrong when blank did this. I know you must have felt hurt, let's say. So that's saying, like, I know you right. felt hurt. And when you do the because, you're empathizing with that hurt. You're not just repeating what you were wrong. Do you see what I mean? Like, I was wrong when I said this, and I know you must have felt hurt because I said this.
Well, or it might, especially if you were thinking of their relational need. So let's say their relational need was respect, and that whatever you said felt disrespectful. So that could be the because part.
Okay, so it's not... Yeah, it's not
worth it. Right. So it's more maybe because a need wasn't met, or one of their top three needs weren't met.
Are we going to talk about how to go to your partner if your needs aren't being met later, if they've done something that's hurt you?
Well, we can't. We've got to honor our time. So Kevin has about, I think, 2 minutes before he needs to be up here. So we would be happy to chat with you more.
We can talk offline with him. And remember, there seem to be a lot of questions about, okay, if I've got this full cup, now what do I do with it? Well, we just now know what to do with it, right? You identify it, you have a conversation with that, hopefully there's some identifying, some confession of forgiveness, and that's how we remember how the cup is now pretty empty because of that. So that's the process of doing it the way that I think is going to minimize hurt being in your cup for long.
Thank you, fly lady. No, forward. I was trying to go forward just as well. Not going.
It's not moving.
There it is. Okay, we're going to wrap up. So if you can remember these things in your marriage, your goal is intimacy.
Take a picture.
Give it to your spouse so that they are less alone. Celebrate when good things happen. Don't leave your spouse alone in the celebration. Deeply know your spouse's top relational needs and how they feel loved. Okay? Learn to share your needs in a positive way. Heal hurt you did not cause by giving comfort. Don't leave your partner alone in their hurt. Heal hurt that you have caused with a good apology. Choose to forgive. Help each other with healthy thinking. And stay at the top of the pain and potential chart and meet your spouse's needs. So once again, thank you so much for the opportunity. And I'll let Ted pray for us as we go out.
Father, we just thank you for this time at Mo Ranch to be able to share what's on our heart. Father, the ways that you've blessed us and helped us learn through even hard times. Father, it's our desire is that we just, in our conversations, would allow all of us to really think about the relational, our relationships that we're in. And Father, how we could use these tools to to heal herds, but to deepen those relationships that would be glory and honor to you. So to pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Trying to stay on schedule tonight. We've got a couple other things, but let's give us 1 second here.